Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey there. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. It's going to be an interesting one there. We got some sad news up front and some fun stuff, and then maybe we'll just chit-chat for a while. So let's bring in the guests. We got Randy, Justin. How are you guys doing today?
I'm great. Calling me a guest. I'm like, I'm always here. This is my house.
I meant to say the rest.
Oh, we're like Gilligan's Island. And the rest.
One of you is the professor. One is Marianne. No hints who it is. You just have to figure it out yourself.
I think Randy has somewhat reddish hair. So
I do have a ginger beard.
But neither of them had ginger hair.
I know. He's more ginger, and then he's the movie star, and I'm
but
the
she's
rest.
She's not part of the rest. Oh, you're both the rest.
Yeah,
you're
I'm
the smart
super.
One and the cute one.
Yeah, like Prince when he did that Batman video where he was half Joker, half Batman.
David, that makes you Mr. Howl.
Ooh.
Aww. I was hoping Gilligan or the Skipper. Damn it. I'll take Mr. Howl. He's rich.
Exactly.
He's the only one with a significant other there. He's the only one getting some regular, action.
That's true.
Exactly. He's getting regular action, and he can just throw money at his problems.
That's Ooh. Right. He can probably buy Marianne and Ginger.
Mm. Oh,
he probably had them all.
I'm sure he did.
Because he brought all his jewels and stuff. I bet they're all over his D.
And when he's getting tired of that, because you know they were trapped on that island for a long time, he may have even thrown Gilligan a bone.
Oh, yeah, he's... Bob Denver's kind of effeminate.
It's like, hey, oh, cabin boy.
When in Rome.
Yes.
Sorry, we took a dark turn right off the bat there.
It's going to take a darker one. How are you, Justin?
I am really sad, Dave. Mr. Bill Paxton is no longer with us, and that just shocked me to my core. I don't know. I don't know how to deal with it. I woke up to, I think both of you sent me a text. And that was the first thing I saw Sunday morning, was that Bill Paxton had passed away.
Yeah, it hit me a lot harder. It hit me harder than, there's been so many celebrity deaths that I wouldn't say you're numb to it, but most of them you're like, oh, that's sad, that's terrible. And then Carrie Fisher hit last year, and that was like the first kind of celebrity death that really kind of like really, really affected me, if that makes any sense. And then, but Bill Paxton, same thing. I don't know if it's because they were both relatively young, or if just because they both had such huge impacts in my childhood. But Bill Paxton's death, outside of Carrie Fisher, has probably affected me the most of any of the celebrity deaths in the last couple of years. So I was kind of bummed.
Yes.
I was sad I had shared that news with you guys.
I know. I didn't like it. Broke my heart.
I don't want you to hear it from a stranger.
No, I mean, I was literally laying in bed just trying to, remembering all my favorite roles that he was in. And the first thing I thought of was the car salesman in True Lies. I mean, he's been in a million movies, but I mean, this was more of a cameo than anything else. It was a really small part, but he nailed it. And he was so funny. And I couldn't stop laughing. And then, so I'm laying in bed just laughing. And I just think that that's really powerful, you know? And I remember when I was kind of going through my movies and just kind of seeing which movies I had that had Bill Paxton. And then when I saw, Live, Die, Repeat, whatever the
Edge of Tomorrow,
I didn't even know he was in it. And when I was sitting in the theater and he showed up with his little mustache and everything, I was just like, yes! I was just so overwhelmed with joy because I knew he was just going to just put a smile on my face. And I just love that about him.
What about you, Randy?
You will be missed.
What would you say is your favorite Mr. Paxton performance?
There's no wrong answer.
I know. As much as I love Weird Science, and I do indeed love it, I'd probably go with Aliens.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of become a cliche now of that, like, smart-ass, loudmouth, you know, over the top freaking out person in an action movie, but he kind of invented that role with when he's just like, game over, man. Or
yeah,
when they're telling him about like when they're telling him about like Newt and how she this girl lived here with no weapons and no blah blah blah. He's like, well, why don't we put her in charge?
Yeah. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that both of those are great. And the only thing that sticks out to me the most is actually the one where like where they're Paul Reiser's trying to get them to go back out there. He's like, I don't know if you've been keeping up with current events. We just got our asses kicked.
Yeah.
I remember just always saying that, like, as, like, a teenager and stuff. So, yeah, it's just a real shame. And, I mean, he's shooting, he was, the TV version of Training Day. And I think, I want to say they got, like, they're, like, 8 or 9 episodes filmed. I think the first episode just aired recently. And it's unfortunate that someone who was working, you know, kind of a la Carrie Fisher, was taken way too young. Mm-hmm. I think his last actual film role was Edge of Tomorrow.
I think Nightcrawler. The one that has...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
When did that come out? They both came out in 2014, okay. Yeah, Nightcrawler, I think, was like an October release. And Edge of Tomorrow was a summer film.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah, so. Remember Two Guns? Go watch Two Guns. So yeah, we actually had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Paxton, and he was an absolute delight. And we had an interview scheduled with him, but it got canceled, whatever, like an hour before. But then we bumped into him at that hotel. I want to say it was Hard Rock.
I want to say, yeah, it was Hard Rock that year.
Yeah, in San Diego, and he was totally cool and gave us a little photo op, and we got to yell, game over, man. He yelled it back and then walked away saying, go watch Two Guns.
Yeah, go watch Two Guns.
I didn't remember that part. That's great.
Yeah. He was like going down the stairs.
Yeah.
He was like halfway down the stairs and around the corner. So go watch Two Guns.
That's awesome. Yeah. I remember just being so impressed with how chill he was when we met him.
That was funny. Yeah, you forget all the movies he was in, you know. Obviously, Twister. Twister was good. He was in Titanic, Apollo 13, Tombstone. You know, we mentioned a bunch of the other ones. He was in Predator 2, you know, Navy SEALs.
He's great.
He was in Terminator 2, right?
As Terminator, well.
Comma, 2-0.
He has the distinction. He was killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator.
Yes. Predator 2.
Predator 2.
And Frailty, that's a unique one because he actually directed that. You know, it's a horror movie, which he's obviously no stranger to, having done sort of the creature features like Predator and Alien. But that's pretty cool that he was directing and starring in a movie. Throwing that out there.
And it was kind of a departure acting-wise from him. It was not this big, over-the-top movie character. He was very subdued, and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. He was like that in Titanic as well. I mean, he's only in the movie for a few minutes, but it's sort of your average Joe kind of guy as opposed to the obnoxious loudmouth guy that we love so much. It's fucking great, dude. Like, Chet, I don't even know if it gets any better than Chet. The only thing that's close to it and that compares would be him in True Lies. How he's pretending to be like a covert op guy to meet women, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Good, love it. He runs into James Ashcraft, actually. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
It's like James, when he was on the lot, he was just like Bill Paxton. It's hilarious.
I just love how Bill Paxton talks to Schwarzenegger in that movie. He's like, I know what it's all about. Pussy.
Am I right?
Or just the fact that like Tom Arnold just loves it. He's like, oh my god, he used car sales. It just keeps getting better.
And then it's like, he goes, but I have an angle. He's like, so what's your angle? He's like, oh no, I'm not going to tell you. Then the very next scene, it's like, alright, so here's how it goes. And then he gives the spiel. It's fantastic. Ugh, he will be missed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So young. We don't know what he, you know, died during complications of surgery. We don't know what it was for. We don't know if it was something serious. So I'm sure someday we'll find out. But all you need to know, I guess, is that Bill Paxton is no longer with us, and the world is a little less happy. Mm-hmm. Much like Mr. Warren Beatty was last night. Did you guys see the Oscars? I know the answer is no.
I watched parts.
I watched the whole damn thing.
Oh, what? I love it. Usually I'm sitting here talking like an asshole by myself. So what did you guys think of the show?
Fine.
I've seen better.
All right. I really liked it. I was really digging Jimmy Kimmel. I thought he did a great job.
I feel like when he brought in all the tourists from the tour bus, that part lingered way too long. But overall, I thought, yeah, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was a little long because it went that bit, and then it went into another bit, but I don't remember what the other bit he did was. But it was like back-to-back bits, and I was like, oh, yeah. Show's already way too long, but I guess we should talk about the greatest flub in the history of Oscars when they announced it. La La Land was Best Picture, and then let them have speeches for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden they realized, oh, I mean Moonlight.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch that live?
Yeah, and I will say that was that the producer that was talking? He handled himself very well, very professional, and that is huge. I do see how Warren Beatty made the mistake. It was obviously the wrong envelope. It wasn't his fault. You can see that he looks weird. He's like kind of tripping, like, this is not correct, right? You know, he didn't know what to do. I think he should have spoke up and said, I think I need a new envelope, but it's a shame.
Yeah, do you see Pricewaterhouse, the attorneys that do tabulate the awards, they admitted that it was their fault.
Yeah.
Because how it works is since they don't know which side the presenter's necessarily going to come out of, they make two envelopes for every award. And so when the one came out to give Emma Stone her award, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway came from the other side. And so unfortunately the person didn't get rid of that previous envelope. So they took the envelope for best actress, which was Emma Stone's award. And that's where all the confusion came. And Warren Beatty was saying that he was kind of showing Faye Dunaway like to show her like, hey, we got the wrong card. And then she mistook that for, oh, he's going to let me announce the winner. And then she blurts it out and then she just fucking takes off. Like, I think Warren basically told her that we fucked up and she just left. Like, you see Warren Beatty in the background the whole time as Moonlight's, there is La La Land's talking. But yeah, I agree with you that Justin Horowitz, the producer for La La Land, I think he saved the day from becoming in a very messy situation. Mm-hmm. Saved it.
No, that was crazy. So, do you want to go down the list of the big ones? Your yays and nays? Sure. Are you excited for, happy for?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess we can start with Best Picture since we're there. You know, Moonlight won. Everyone was thinking that it was going to be La La Land, which was my pick, but I'm definitely not sad that Moonlight won. It's also an amazing film, so I don't know. Did either of you see Moonlight as well?
I don't think
I
saw.
Randy saw La La Land.
I don't think I saw a single Best Picture nominee.
I did not see it either, unfortunately. I want to, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a movie a lot like 12 Years a Slave or like this year, like Manchester by the Sea or Nocturnal Animals. That's just like it's not a movie I'll ever watch again. Like, it's an amazing piece of cinema and it was a great piece of art, but it's something that's not something you want to watch on a repeat. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful film. And it's a necessary film, and I'm glad it won. But I wanted La La Land to win, but that's neither here nor there. And then right before that, they gave up Best Actress to Emma Stone. I think she was the clear front runner. I don't think anyone had any problem with her winning. Randy saw La La Land. What did you think of Emma Stone?
I thought she was amazing, but I think she's great in everything that she's in. So I, for one, am a fan. So I was not surprised that she won.
Yeah. And the next one, the best actor, was a pretty big surprise. Casey Affleck won for Manchester by the Sea. I think everyone in the world recognizes that Casey Affleck's performance in that movie was by far the best performance of the year. but with those nagging sexual abuse charges in his past that recently came up, I think a lot of people were thinking that the Oscars were going to kind of bypass the negative publicity associated with it. And I've already seen a significant amount of backlash on social media for rewarding someone for being such an awful person. So, but I thought they would give the Denzel just to avoid A, to avoid the problem, and B, to make sure that there was no Oscar so white controversy.
Huh.
What were you going to say, Justin?
I think I am unfamiliar with the sexual harassment allegations.
When do you remember when when Joaquin Phoenix was a crazy person, and him Casey Affleck were making the document like "This Is Me" or something like that?
Yeah.
In like 2011 or somewhere around there, a producer and someone else who worked on the film, I'm not sure what her role was, accused Casey Affleck of sexual assault. Like one said, like he snuck into her like hotel room or whatever, her house, wherever she was, and like laid in bed with her and was like caressing her back, and she has no idea how long he was there and stuff like that. And so they settled out of court. So they both, one sued for like $2 million, one sued for like $2.5 million, and they settled both of them out of court, you know, back when it happened. So, you know, 2010, 2011, whenever it was. And, but it recently had come to light because of all his, you know, awards and stuff he was gathering. And so a lot of people were saying that it's a hard thing to say, you know, judging someone's character versus someone's art, because, you know, anyone who works in an art or entertainment field is a little screwy. So how far down do you go in the bad character route? And so I don't think I don't have an answer for those people. All I know is that he gave the best performance last year, so I guess in theory he deserved the Oscar, but I definitely see their point when they say that, you know, he's a bad man and we shouldn't reward him. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was, if him or Denzel, either one would have been fine. You know, people would have accepted that. We had Best Supporting Actor, which went to Mahershala Ali from Moonlight, another amazing performance. It would have been great to have seen Jeff Bridges win for Hell or High Water, but I don't think his performance was as good as Ali's.
I need to see Hell or High Water. I never saw that one.
Amazing.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. And then for Best Supporting Actress, we had Viola Davis from Fences, which is kind of a cheat because her role really is just as important as Denzel's role, so she really was a lead actress. And so I don't know why she wanted, I don't know if she thought maybe it'd be easier to win an Oscar or, you know, this or that, but she won Best Supporting Actress. I don't think anyone had any question about that. Had she not ran for Best Supporting Actress, I think it would have went to Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and it would have been great to see that movie get some Oscar love. And then we had Best Director was Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Again, I think everyone assumed that it was going to be a La La Land just win streak last night, and they ended up with, I think, six of the 14 they were nominated for. And then for the screenplays went to original went to La La Land, and adapted went to Manchester by the Sea. And yeah, both those were strong picks. The only thing I will say is that Suicide Squad won an Academy Award for Best Makeup, so now it is Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I thought,
and
for
Star
sure,
Wars won nothing, right?
Yeah, no, they didn't win. They were up for sound editing, and they lost La La Land because it's a musical, and musicals will always win that category. And visual effects, they went up against The Jungle Book, and the Jungle Book was pretty groundbreaking. There was really no keep beating that.
Yeah,
I will admit with that. That's true.
But yeah, I was pretty surprised that makeup went to the Academy voters could actually put down Suicide Squad on their ballot. I was voting for Star Trek. I thought the makeup on Star Trek was really good, and I would have liked to have seen that win. I mean, really, Suicide Squad was killer. They won for Killer Croc.
Mm.
I mean, which is pretty amazing. You know, but I would have liked to have seen not Suicide Squad.
I know, right? I don't know. God, I mean, bless everyone who worked on that movie. I mean, that's great that it was made, but I just don't see how it is doing as well as it did. Not my cup of tea.
Fool me once, right?
Oh, whatever. Yay for them.
I really liked the continuous back and forth of the ever funny Matt Damon Jimmy Kimmel rivalry. Mm-hmm. They've been really ramping it up the last couple years. I mean, obviously it started, you know, 15 years or so with I Fucked Matt Damon.
Right.
Back when he was with Sarah Silverman. And I remember last year when Batman v Superman came out and Ben Affleck was on promoting the show, he came out in this giant fat suit. And it wasn't a fat suit. He actually had, like, Matt Damon and, like, a baby Bjorn in front of him.
Oh, wow.
And I remember Matt Damon was like, yeah, I'm on the show. I'm on the stage. So I thought they were really funny in that little thing.
Well, good.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good show. Long as shit. I think they should cut all the short categories and give them at the, you know, the technical awards section of the Oscars that they do a couple days before. And then a couple of the other awards. I think they should really cut it down to 10 awards, and they should, instead of doing each individual musical number, they should do like a medley, you know, have like a revolving stage or something like that, and do like a quick, like minute and a half of each song and just cycle through them really quick. And then the tourist bit had its moments because of that one guy at the front. But other than that, you know, they can cut kind of bits like that. Make that show 2 hours.
Ugh, that's still too long.
No, I don't mind the pageantry. I just, sometimes it gets a little excessive.
Yeah, I get bored. I can't do it. I am a simpleton.
Well, I guess if you'd put in the 20 something hours to watch all of the Best Picture films, I guess you'd be more invested in it.
Yeah, which I am not.
Right. You hadn't seen any, so you didn't really care who won.
I saw Hell or High Water, and I don't even know if that was a Best Picture nominee.
It was.
Okay, I saw that one.
Yeah, it was up for Best Picture, Best Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor. I don't want to say Best Costume Design. Or Best Production Design.
John Wick 2. That was good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know its chances.
I finally saw Part 1 over the weekend.
Oh, did you like it?
Loved the shit out of it. Like,
so good, right?
So good.
That's funny. Yeah.
It's still making money.
Yeah, that's good shit.
It's like, make money. No?
Take money. Snoop-a-loop.
No, it's freaking. Yeah, John Wick 2 was the number 3 at the box office this week. It made almost $10 million. So it's up to domestically $75
million. That's good.
And so, yeah, and internationally it's got another 50. So it's at 125.
Is that a hit? Already,
yeah, I think the budget's like 6 cents. That's the budget on this.
A lot of bullets. Fake bullets. Yeah.
A lot of fake bullets. They don't have their budget on there, but I imagine their budget's somewhere in like the
50 range. It says 40 on IMDb.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to say 40, 50, but I said 50 to be safe. So, yeah. And I mean, in the way John Wick 1 exploded on home video / VOD stuff, I'm assuming they expect the same thing out of this. And whoever was doing the marketing on this movie deserves an Oscar. It's like probably the same person who did Deadpool. Every time I see like a Facebook video on him, I'm like, oh, good job, guys.
Mm-hmm. That's like, fantastic. I don't even know how they're gonna do 3, man. I don't know how you crank it up even higher. it's teetering on like Fast and Furious escalation. Like it just gets more and more absurd, but you just go along with it. You're like,
yeah, you just buy,
I believe it.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I bet it. I can see that.
That's funny. Good shit.
Well, we didn't have a show last week, but we were planning on talking about Matt Reeves turning down or deciding not to direct the Batman, and it's a good thing that we didn't talk about it because then we would look like total assholes because Matt Reeves is now officially the director of the Batman after negotiations broke down last week in what was described as not a shouting match, but
an angry meeting with raised voices. somehow they brought it all back together, and they decided that Matt Reeves was going to direct Batman. Sent out this big long press release talking about, you know, the script and the script and the movie and the director and Warner Brothers and DCU, and they didn't mention like Ben Affleck once, which got everyone thinking like, shit, is Ben Affleck going to be in this movie? And then Ben Affleck sent out a tweet welcoming Matt Reeves to the Batcave. So I guess that's his way of saying, yeah, fuckers, I'm still doing this movie. I have to.
Nice.
My prediction, within 6 months, one of those will no longer be.
Well, DC's got a track record. I mean, they got to. That's the problem, is now they're going to have to kind of push this forward real fast, because I'm sure that Matt Reeves is either going to want to rewrite the script, or he's going to want to have a heavy hand in, you know, changes. And if they want this movie to come out in, you know, 2019 or whatever, they gotta get their shit together.
Did you know that Matt Reeves wrote Under Siege 2: Dark Territory?
I did, yes.
That's fantastic. But what's interesting about that is that movie came out in 1995, and Matt Reeves was born in 1966. So that's
29.
It's not bad.
No. We could forgive him for being young and dumb. He didn't know any better.
It was on a train, you know. And
yeah, it was.
And your girlfriend was in it. The chick from Grey's Anatomy that left and got all mad. Heigl.
Katherine Heigl.
Yeah. Interesting.
She was around back then?
Yeah, she was a little girl.
You wouldn't think that there's that many places to hide on a train, but you'd be wrong.
There's a lot of cars. Do you ever count the cars on a train?
Well, you would think that they could just kind of sweep back and eliminate their problem.
Yeah. Just keep detaching cars after they've counted all the people.
Yeah, exactly.
funny shit. And he did Cloverfield. He directed that.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Which I know you guys like, but I'm kind of lukewarm on it.
I mean, I'm not a sucker for found footage, but the trailers were great, and the movie was fun. And TJ Miller, his voice is always a delight in a movie. And that was really my first go-around with that guy. I didn't know who he was until that movie came out.
Until he was HUD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what I think that might have been like his first real role.
He was on a TV series called Carpoolers.
In 2007 and 2008, and Cloverfield was 2008, yeah.
He's fun. I like him in Extract. He's in his band. He's like, he hands his flyer to everybody. It's for his band, Godscock. And he gives it to like the old lady. He's like, bring some chicks. That's so great.
He's so funny.
Hilarious.
Totally wasted in Age of Extinction, but.
What is that?
It's Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about
it. He's like Mark Wahlberg's like assistant type person, and he gets killed.
That's right.
Spoiler alert.
I forgot about that.
He was in Get Him to the Greek, which is an underrated movie.
I didn't like that one. I like the other one better. Yeah.
Oh, Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one's much better. But Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, and he cracks me up in Get Him to the Greek. Mm-hmm. Smoking the Jeffrey and. But, I don't know how we got down this path of Batman. Oh, Matt Reeves, and then we got to Cloverfield, and then T.J. Miller, and we spiraled down from there.
That's what we do. We are spirals.
Out of control.
Uh-huh.
Talk what about your rating? Does Matt Reeves excite you? Is there anything about him that makes you happy in pants? You know, did the Apes, did Cloverfield?
I'm not a fan of Cloverfield, and don't care about Apes.
He's like, throw shampoo in their eyes.
No, I'm just.
Have you seen any of the new Apes films, Randy?
I've seen all of them. Every goddamn one of them. In a movie theater, no less.
And you just don't care for them?
I don't give a shit.
Oh, he's mean.
Waterworld. If only... That's a good film.
Waterworld is amazing. They made a goddamn floating city.
That's pretty good.
It's Mad Max on the water.
I know. How are you going to make a city float? When I put a rock in the water, it sinks. Science.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's all about science.
I bet you'd understand it if you had gills.
Oh. It's the future, Justin.
Oh, yeah. In the future, cities float. Rocks don't.
Yeah. Polar ice caps melted, so things that don't float, float.
Oh, yeah. And Everest. Any asshole can climb Everest now because it's only like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, and somehow not snowy.
Yeah, how does that work? And how are they even
able to... It doesn't work.
How are they able to breathe? I would think the altitude would still be a factor. Maybe not.
It would be worse
know.
Because there's no trees.
Oh, yeah! Science.
They say that 90% of oxygen is created by like seaborne algae, so I guess we'd still be able to breathe, but we would be higher up in the atmosphere and stuff like that, so the air would be thinner. But Costner doesn't worry about things like that.
No, he's got the gills and he drinks the pee.
Yeah, he has like a post office bag.
Oh shit,
that's a different movie.
Is it?
It is. That's the postman.
That's the prequel.
It's got a different title. I don't know if that makes it a different movie. It's full disclosure, I've never seen The Postman.
Also amazing.
I can't imagine. If it were on Netflix, I'd be sure to watch it.
I sincerely doubt that.
If there were a streaming service or an easy way for me to view it, I would view it. Just so I could see what was up.
I will find it for you and send you a link.
I watched Waterworld like a year ago, thinking like, maybe Randy's on to something. Maybe I just need to be in a better mood. And no, it's still bad. Still bad.
To be fair, I haven't seen Waterworld in probably 10 years, but I remember it being pretty good. I remember enjoying it. It wasn't good, but I remember enjoying it. There's a marked difference there.
There certainly is. did you have something you wanted to say, Justin? I echoed. We kind of cut you off there.
I don't think. I can guarantee you it wasn't anything even remotely important.
Nor
would it add anything to this show.
Nice. We'll piggybacking off of Matt Reeves coming to Batman with the success of Lego Batman. Chris McKay, who directed that film, has now been given the fun job of developing a Nightwing feature-length live-action film that would take place within the DC expanded universe. Nightwing's, of course, Dick Grayson, all grown up and no longer Robin. So, Randy, is that a property that excites you? Are you familiar with the Nightwing property, or do you care?
I am definitely familiar with Nightwing, and that does excite me. Anything in the Batman universe that isn't, like, Gotham, I guess, does excite me to a degree. So, yeah, I think that's cool. We've never really seen, other than Chris O'Donnell, any kind of cinematic version of Robin or his later alter ego Nightwing. So, I think it's high time that we had one.
Unless you count Joseph Gordon-Levitt at the very, very end of Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, but he was never named as such, so that's conjecture.
Right. Well, they name him Robin, but Robin's not his real name. Dick Grayson's supposed to be Robin.
Right.
It's like Nolan didn't crack a comic on that one.
They did some liberties there. But, I mean, there's a nod to Nightwing in Batman Forever when he's like, what should you call me? Like, Batboy, Nightwing, I need a cool name. So, yeah. I like that. I always thought that was kind of fun.
All that cool stuff that landed on Robin. Now, is this too much Batman, Justin? Are we just Batman? Oh, cause all we hear all these negative stories about Batman. We got Batman this, Batman that. We got a Batman TV show. Now we got another Batman movie. Are we going to get Batmaned out?
I don't think so. I think Batman is just the coolest superhero on the planet.
You're not tired of hearing Batman news like every single week?
No, I don't think so. I like it. I can't imagine a world where there's too much Batman. I think it's exciting. I mean, because remember when in 1989 when the Tim Burton Batman came out and all of a sudden Batman was just fucking everywhere and it just got everyone excited. They brought the 60s Batman back on the air and there's merchandising all over the goddamn place. It got everyone excited for Batman, and we have to remember that there are more and more kids every day getting exposed to this Batman phenomenon, and I think that that's fantastic. It not only encourages people to appreciate superheroes, but it can get them reading. I mean, I don't care if they're reading comic books or actual literature. It's always fantastic when a kid picks up something to read. So if it's Batman, then so be it.
Hear, hear. Maybe it's just because maybe it's because we have to write and talk about it. It seems on almost a daily basis.
Right.
I just want them to kind of. It seems like they got something going. I want them just to kind of go underground, and I don't want to hear about them for like 6 months. And then the next thing I want to hear about is like them sending a picture of like their first day rolling or something like that. And yeah. Then from that point, I can be excited because then it's like once I know it's happening, I'll be excited. I think that my problem has been it's been this like constant backstage upheaval and all their properties, and so I think it just makes me nervous.
Right. It would have been way cooler if when we're watching this Batman movie, that's the one that hasn't even been written yet, The Batman, if Nightwing had a cameo that we knew nothing about, and all of a sudden we were like, what the fuck? This is badass. And then they dropped the bomb that, yeah, not only is he badass, but guess what? He's got his own movie coming out. I mean, that would be an impossible secret to keep, but it would have been pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah, I think they really need to introduce him. Do you think, Randy? Do you think we'll be able to have a standalone Nightwing film without having him appear in either like a Justice League Part 2 or the Batman?
I think they're going to need to either introduce him somehow in one of those films that you mentioned, or they're going to have to spend a lot of time with flashbacks establishing like his origin in his movie. You know, which is, it's going to have at least the same amount of Batman in it as Suicide Squad did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe do like they did with Spider-Man in Civil War.
That's good. Like I like that. You know what my favorite real origin story is? This is going to sound so weird, but I'm going to say
Jonah Hex.
No, Speed Racer in the one that the
Wachowskis
did. At the beginning, he's in the locker room. He's nervous because he's about to go on the track, and he's like kind of shaking his legs, and you see his little socks, you know, his red socks that you find out his brother's the one that gave them to him, right? His lucky socks. But it's really cool, and it keeps jumping back and forth between him as a little boy and then him on the racetrack. Then him as a little boy, then him on the racetrack racing his brother, you know, the ghost of his brother. And it was done in a way, it's only like 10 minutes. But you find out all that you need to know about Speed Racer in these 10 minutes, and it is one of the most exciting intros I've ever seen in a movie. And I think it would be really cool if it was something along those lines of Nightwing on some kind of job, perched on a building, and then remembering him as a little boy, and then back on the job, and then him pairing up with Batman, and then him training, you know, back and forth to where now here he is. His own man, his own hero, kicking ass. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, no, I like that. I love Speed Racer. It's a shame that no one saw it. Like, I know everyone who saw it loved it, just no one saw it.
That's a shame.
And it's sad.
You know who Nightwing looks like? Looks like he's a member of the Dark Crusaders.
Ooh.
That, I'm not going to lie, that's kind of where I got my inspiration.
I know, and it looks fantastic.
A little thiefy thief.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just say it's an homage, and you can get away with pretty much anything. Did you guys watch that Alien Covenant prologue?
I started, but my phone was dying, so I plugged it in, but then I got distracted. I didn't get to it's almost like 5 minutes. I was like, holy shit, dude, this is like a whole little scene. And I got pulled away, and I never finished it.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes long. It's it's not something that will appear in the film. This is something that was produced separately. It was actually directed by Ridley Scott's son, who directed the film Borgen, which was an amazing film last year. So he directed it. It's 5.5 minutes, has all of the main cast. You know, it has, you know, James Franco. It has Danny McBride and everybody. And it's pretty interesting. it kind of sets in motion. You know, they have their own version of David, but he's called something else. I don't remember. So it's not. So we kind of got confirmation that the David unit on the ship is not the same David unit from Prometheus, but they are headed towards the David unit from Prometheus.
Oh.
And it's their last kind of like their last kind of meal before they go into hyperspace before they get to the new planet. So I'm assuming the new film will open as they're coming out of cryosleep, and this is them right before they go into cryosleep. So, you know, it's fun. It's got a bunch of fun little like nods. Like one of them's not feeling well. You know, one of them is says he got like feels like he's got something trying to get out of his chest or something like that. You know, all these fun little nods that I'm sure mean nothing in the film, but are good to see. Did you see it, Randy?
I did not, no.
It was pretty good. But yeah, it's 5 minutes. It's worth your time if you just want to live in that world again. The set looks great. It looks like it could be something straight out of the 1976 Alien. Yeah, I recommend it.
Ooh. Oh, so it's like the push button technology and all that stuff? Where it's like the old school corded phones.
Yeah. And then that's pretty much unless we I guess we could talk real quick. I know it's a little bit old, but we haven't had a chance to talk about the first image from the Han Solo movie with everyone looking all cool. Yeah,
It looks pretty badass.
It was nice to see like a clean like the Falcon's a little cleaner, you know, cuz it's not as old and I don't and this will be the first film where Peter Mayhew will not be playing Chewbacca. He split duties with I totally forgot the guy's name.
The Swedish basketball player.
Yeah, he split duties with him during Force Awakens, to where Peter Mayhew did most of like the sitting and the non really like active parts of Chewbacca, and then the basketball player played all like whenever he saw Chewbacca running or like standing for long periods of time. And he will take over duties full time in the Han Solo film. No word on what's going to happen to episode 8. I think episode 8, they're doing the same thing they did for Force Awakens, but I could be 100% wrong on that. But I guess Donald Glover looking just like he's going to be the perfect Lando.
Mm-hmm. I hope he shaves, because in that publicity photo, he had a beard.
Yeah, you know he's gonna go mustache, and he's gonna have a cape. He looks like a cape guy. Donald Glover just strikes me as someone who could like really get into like someone that like has got a cape and a mustache, looking all suave. Got Woody Harrelson there in a hoodie. I wasn't sold on Aiden Kirk. Is that it? Who's Han Solo? What's his last name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich, that's what it was. I wasn't sold on his hair, but, you know, again, this was not they weren't in character except for Chewbacca.
Yeah, he's got the right length hair. It just wasn't done in that Han Solo style. You know, you feather it out with that, you know, that 70s fluff, and I'm sure it'll look fine.
Yeah. And his face, he looked like Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm beginning to get on board. I was pretty anti the whole thing earlier on, but it's getting me excited.
I would say with the exception of like the announcement that Emilia Clarke was going to be in it, like every single announcement that came out of it just made me more and more excited. Got Bradford Young shooting it, and he's an amazing talent as far as director of photography goes. Got an amazing cast, you know, you got Donald Glover, you got Woody Harrelson, you got Miller and Lord directing it and writing it, and they can do no wrong in my book. So I'm a lot more excited for the Han Solo film that it was a year ago before all of these people were involved. And in that photo, they still have the release date as May. So
yeah,
they still have it as May 2018. So as of right now, we're going to get Last Jedi in December, Han Solo in May. Randy, do you think they're setting us up for the inevitability that a couple years from now, we're going to start getting 2 Star Wars movies a year like Marvel?
Oh, I don't know, man. Because I don't think now that they own Christmas, I don't think they're going to give it up completely. So it would make sense to kind of do a 2-time a year Christmas for them, you know. because for them it is Christmas making all that money.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Unless they have a surprise in their hands, they got nothing for Christmas 2018.
That's what I mean, but I mean, not yet anyway, but episode 9 is going to be coming out Christmas of 2019, yeah.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah, so we'll see what they announce at Celebration. I'm sure Celebration, they'll announce what their other standalone film is, at least one of them, you know, whether it's Kenobi or Fett or something completely different. I think most spoiler sites and rumor mills point to Fett, but you know, that doesn't mean that they're right. I don't know if I would be less excited about a Fett movie versus basically anything else. Hmm. I'm fine if they want to have Boba Fett in the Han Solo movie as, you know, maybe like a minor antagonist. I want Woody Harrelson to end up being the main antagonist of this film. But if a certain green helmeted Mandalorian shows up, I won't be sad. I know you won't, Randy.
Of course.
Justin, though, he might be sad, right?
No. I'll only be sad if they take his helmet off.
No, never. He showers with that shit.
Got a little squeegee for the visor.
I never want to see Boba Fett's helmet on off.
Yeah. I want Boba Fett's helmet to be like my shirt during sex. It never comes off.
Never, ever. You don't want to see that shit.
Exactly.
I showered my shirt. I gotta turn my medicine mirrors like against the wall so I don't catch a glimpse when I get out of there. I've been working out for crying out
loud. You're like Wyatt and Gary wearing your jeans in the shower. Right.
Exactly. Can't even take a shower with beautiful women
without wearing your jeans. I don't think English is his first language. It always comes off really weird.
Yeah.
No one talks like that.
No. I'm going to watch Weird Science tonight. Or tomorrow.
Pretty good movie.
Yeah. So.
Pretty good movie.
Yes, I mean, that's really all I got. It's been kind of a fun week. You know, we got some sad, some good, some just outlandishly weird shit. But yeah, do you guys have anything else you wanted to chat about? You want to talk more Bill Paxton, how amazing he is? You have a list? Best Bill Paxton movies ever of all time?
I don't know if it's necessarily broken down that way, but IGN had compiled a list of Bill Paxton's most memorable roles. Some of them we've already discussed. I don't think they're in any particular order. I think it's just 19 films in general. We have Terminator from 1984. You know, he's one of the first little thugs that Arnold gets to meet. Then we have Chet from Weird Science, 1985. He pukes, you die. Fantastic. Then we have Hudson, Space Marine from Aliens. The man likes James Cameron.
James Cameron likes him.
Yes, they go together like peas and carrots.
Like Forrest and Jenna.
Then we have Near Dark, which I've actually never seen before. It's like it's a vampire movie.
Yeah, it's directed by Catherine Bigelow, right?
Yes, and I've never seen it, so I'm going to have to add that to my list.
That was whilst they were married.
Oh.
Cameron and her, I mean.
Yeah. Then we have Predator 2. Fantastic. That was, it takes place in sort of a, Los Angeles is overrun with gangs, right? So it's a little hardcore, and the Predator sees that as perfect hunting season. To just annihilate a lot of bad folks. I mean, one could even say that the Predator is the protagonist in that story.
one could. Smart money's on Donald Glover.
Cleaning the streets, and Donald Glover's trying to stop him.
Yeah, Donald Glover's the bad guy in Predator 2.
Then we have Bill Paxton as Morgan Earp in Tombstone. I had posted on Facebook how sad I was about his passing, and I was surprised at how many people said that his role in Tombstone was one of their favorites. And I'm not so. Now that I think about it, it makes sense because it's a serious role. He's actually, a kind-hearted, sweet man in this movie. And everyone that was posting about him, like on social media, like other celebrities, said that he was just had the hugest heart, and he was such a lovely person. And it was just a privilege to know him. So maybe he was even a lot like this character. He might have been playing himself for all we know. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he had a real. His death scene was really sad.
Oh, I know.
Like, where he's like, everyone says you brat lap before they die. That ain't true. That's some shit. I'm like, oh man, poor guy.
When he saw, I read a book on spiritualism, and a lot of people say that when you die, you see this bright light. And then Kurt Russell's like, what about hell? Is there a sign there or what? It's like, God damn it. Trying to be serious here.
It also was not nice last night at the Oscars that obviously they didn't have time to put him in the In Memoriam, but that he got mentioned at the very beginning. So that was nice.
Yeah. That's so sad.
And then they showed the wrong picture for someone on the In Memoriam, and that person is still alive. So that was fun.
Oh, my God. Just botched.
Yeah, someone is getting fired.
Was anybody snubbed that made the news? Just out of curiosity.
No one I can think of because Alan Arkin died last year, right? He was in last year's.
I didn't even know Alan Arkin died.
No, I'm sorry, Rickman. Sorry, Alan Rickman.
I was about to get really sad.
Good thing you're not in charge of the Academy Awards, David.
Maybe I was. That's where the mistake came from. Alan Rifkin, sorry.
Oh, shit.
He wasn't in there, but I assume he was from before. Same thing with David Bowie. Prince was there. Gene Wilder, Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, man. You know what's funny is when we were talking about Predator 2, we said Donald Glover instead of Danny Glover.
Oh, shit, did we?
Well, because we were just talking about Lando.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny.
The other Glover.
Yeah, there's only two in the whole world, and we fucked it up. Number eight, we have True Lies. That was great with the car salesman. That's the picture of him smiling like the hey, because it's you. That was the picture that I ultimately chose when I was talking about him on Facebook, because that's just so fantastic. I love it so much. So funny. And then we have Apollo 13. Great. Always exciting.
Yeah.
That's interesting because when I remember seeing it and enjoying it and telling my dad, I'm like, oh man, Apollo 13 was so great. You should watch it. He's like, damn it, Justin, I lived it. I'm like, oh yeah. You already saw the movie. Kind of put things into perspective. Then we have Twister. This is actually... fun movie. This was one of my first forays into surround sound. I remember sitting in the theater and just being blown away by, that's funny I said blown away, but just the sounds of the giant storms and everything. I hadn't really been to a movie theater where surround sound was such a big deal. It was always just kind of blaring in front of you. It was never really all around. That was still kind of a new concept in the 90s. Good shit.
It's all around you.
Yeah, and you're looking around like, what's going on? And remember, this is one of those movies where they're in the trailer, the tire hit the window or the windshield, and then that wasn't in the movie.
Bitches.
I know.
Just made for a good cut of the trailer.
Yeah.
A good cutting spot.
Then you have Titanic, which he's like in the beginning and the end.
Mm.
And then A Simple Plan. Sam Raimi movie. Good shit. He's teaming up with Billy Bob Thornton again.
Stealing shit.
Yeah. Frailty. 2001. It's like he's picking and choosing his roles. Then Big Love. This was a pretty big hit on HBO. 2006 to 2011. That's a decent running show.
Yeah, polygamy. Yeah. Everyone likes polygamy, right?
Who doesn't? Then one of your favorites,
women.
Dave. Oh, yeah. Those two. And the kids. Hatfields and the McCoys. I know you really like that series.
That was really good.
Yeah. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I remember when we mentioned on the show a couple years ago that he was going to be on it. He was going to be John Garrett, and that was kind of exciting. We were like, oh, yeah, fucking... Maybe now we'll start watching the show because Bill Paxton's on.
And we didn't.
Yeah.
He also directed a movie called The Greatest Game Ever Played.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite sports movies. It's a golf movie starring Shia LaBeouf. And it's just a great film. I like it a lot. I used to watch it. It's one of those movies that every time it was on, I'd watch it.
Yeah. Sports movies are always better than sports.
True.
Yeah. You'll never see a better boxing match than what you see in, like, Rocky or Creed. You'll never see a better baseball game than what you see in, like, any Kevin Costner baseball movie. Or Major League. Almost done. Edge of Tomorrow. We mentioned that earlier.
Oh, sorry. Thought you were done. Sorry.
No, getting there. Edge of Tomorrow. He's in that movie for like 6 minutes, but it's just a wonderful 6 minutes. He's got his little mustache and everything. And then there was Nightcrawler, which was his last feature film. And then ultimately Training Day, where he takes on sort of that dickish cop like Mr. Washington.
Yeah. Guess he's not supposed to be as bad as Denzel.
Oh. Not as bad.
But I'm assuming that the eventual story arc for him is to be bad like him.
Mm-hmm. I always think of, like, The Shield. You remember that show? The Shield?
Oh, yeah. With the commish?
Yeah. They were,
Thing.
They were mean cops.
Yeah. They didn't fuck around. They were not, how you would say, good cop. They were bad cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
All they did is steal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good list. They could take this down memory lane, and now I have like 6 movies I need to watch because he did a lot of good films.
Oh, I know. God. That's amazing. Titanic's first on your list, right?
Sure. I got 3 hours to burn.
I don't think I own Weird Science. It's weird.
It is weird that you don't own Weird Science.
I mean...
I think it's on Netflix.
I know.
I think it is, too.
Okay. I know the whole movie by heart, pretty much. I've seen it 10,000 times, but it just seems a little absurd that I don't own it.
Are they dead? No, they're better. They're fine. Better than fine. They're not aging.
They're smiling. Do you realize
snowing
it's
in
snowing
room.
In my room, goddammit? What the hell's going on around here? Oh my god. So
you can't keep it like that. It'll ruin this.
It's good shit.
It's a great film, Weird Science. Mm-hmm. The true power of John Hughes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Both and now they're both gone.
Oh. But now they get to have fun again.
They do. They certainly do. But, yeah, you got anything, Randy? You good?
I'm good.
You good, Dustin?
Mm-hmm.
Better than good. I'm great. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And whilst there, go ahead and listen to the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. We got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff Mueller, the Mighty Jared himself. But they talk about cool shit in comics, and they make you a lot smarter than you really are, because what I do is I listen to them, and then I pass off all of their knowledge as my own, and people think, wow, dude, David, you're smart, you must read a lot, and I don't, I can't read. And then, of course, I got the Pixelated Podcast coming back, hopefully not this Friday, but next Friday, and I'm sure they'll have lots to talk about with the Switch launching on this Friday. Also remember that Logan comes out this Friday, and if you don't see it, you're basically an asshole. All three of us will see it because we're going to talk about it a lot on Monday, I hope. And giving you guys homework, that's what I do. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those, at Geek Legacy. You guys have a great night.
Do it.